Praise God. Praise God. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, I'm going to ask Dylan to come up here and help me out this morning. I believe Dylan's going to help me preach today. Amen. Amen.
Oh, that's a pretty chain.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, it's heavy too. Yeah. Yeah. Praise God. Praise God. Come over here in the middle over here. I want to use this as an illustration. If you open your Bibles with me for a moment, I want you to open your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 10 this morning. And something took place last week in the morning service during prayer time when many were delivered. And the Holy Spirit was showing me how the adversary was bringing back some of the same things. And because of the habit of doing the same thing, even though the yoke was destroyed because of the anointing, your mind hasn't been transformed because you're still thinking the same way. So what we want to do is, the Lord told me to give you instructions and help you to walk in the liberty that He purchased for you and I. In Isaiah chapter 10, verse number 27, the word of God says, "And it shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken away from off thy shoulder and his yoke from off thy neck. And the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing, because of the spearing, because of the fatness." The yoke was the Assyrian army. The Assyrians were holding the children of Israel captive, and this yoke was going to be broken. But the Holy Spirit was also speaking forward, okay, through God's word, that the yoke and the bondage of sin has been broken. So last week, when God ministered to your life, He broke the yoke, the chains fell off, amen, because you were no longer under that bondage. But there's something else that needs to take place. Open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 11. Again, this is greatest freedom ministries because there's no greater freedom than in Christ Jesus. God wants everyone in the house to be free. So the yoke has been broken. The yoke was lifted off of you. And now Jesus says in Matthew 11, 28, He says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke." In other words, the yoke of bondage was broken, and now we're going to take on Christ Jesus. In other words, just like the children of Israel, when the yoke was broken off of them, it was going to be broken off of their bondage, they had to follow the things of God or they would end up back into captivity again. So what He was saying, what the Lord was saying to me, He was saying, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in spirit, and ye shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden's light." Now there's something about the yoke of Jesus. The yoke of Jesus and the gospel message that saved you and I, this yoke will preserve us during storm. It's easy. It's not heavy. It's light. The adversary will try to make you believe that it is more than you can do. And truthfully, without the help of the Lord, it would be more than we could do. But He did not leave you and I without a helper. He did not leave you and I without a friend. He gave you and I a helper, the Holy Ghost, that's within you and I so that we can be led from the inside, not on the outside. The problem is so many people are being led by the outside and they're being confused. Go this way, do this thing, do that thing, do this. But the still small voice of God that's within you will guide and direct you into all truth. Amen? So not only the heavy yoke of sin, of that bondage or that addiction was broken last week, and now we're going to keep our healing. We're going to keep our deliverance because we're going to put on the yoke of Jesus. And I want you to turn with me in 1 John chapter 2. And not only that, wait a minute. Not only will he preserve you, he just told me to go somewhere else. Turn to Isaiah chapter 61. Not only did he give you and I a preserver, but he also says in Isaiah 61:10 that I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he have clothed me with the garments of salvation. He have covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh herself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. Now, what he is saying to us is this. Not only did he give you, break the chain of bondage, put on the yoke that preserves you, but he's also covered you with his righteousness. And God wants you to know, and he wants you to see something, that you are the righteousness of Jesus Christ. It's not your righteousness. The Bible says our righteousness is like filthy rags. You and I have the righteousness of Jesus Christ. In other words, you have to walk in what the Spirit is saying inside of you, not to what it looks like on the outside, because things are being transformed from the inside out. You know, God always works from the inside out. Man always looks from the outside. They're looking for what's taking place in your life, but God says no. The moment that you said yes to the Lord, the moment that you said, I want to be delivered, that I want to be set free, the work began. And the work began on the inside. And it's going to be manifested on the outside when we get our mind aligned with the Word of God. Man, you make a good example. I could go, you want to just preach the rest of this message?
No, I don't think
so. You don't think they can handle it yet, huh? So turn with me. Turn with me and to 1 John. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. 1 John. If you get there, say amen. 1 John chapter 2. What I want to talk to you about this morning is when Jesus said on the cross of Calvary, it was finished. It was done. I was healed the day he said it was finished. I was delivered the day he said it was finished. My provision was taken care of the day he said it was finished. And now I have to enter into his work that's already been complete. And what the Lord wants us to get in our hearts today, if you look in 1 John chapter 2, verse number 20, he says, but ye have an unction. That word unction comes from the Greek word chrisma, which means an endowment. The endowment that you have is the Holy Spirit. Look at the one next to you and say, the Holy Spirit's in you. For you have an unction. He didn't say that you will have, you may have, someday you'll have, but he says you have. Amen? And when he is saying have, that's in the past tense. That means you already got it. In other words, what he says, but you have an unction or you have an endowment from the Holy One, and you know all things. Gosh, that's a good big statement there. He says, I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it. And that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is an antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same have not the Father, but he that acknowledgeth the Son have the Father also. Let that therefore abide in you which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you, but the anointing comes from the same word, chrisma. which same word, which means the Holy Ghost. But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it is taught you, you shall abide in him. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before men is coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. For this message this morning, I want to focus your attention to verse number 27. That says, the anointing which you have received of him abideth in you, and you need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it have taught you, ye shall abide in him. The title of this morning's message is Anointing Means Power, and I use this to illustrate an amp. And when I think of an amp, I think of a guitar, electric guitar, and I think about an amplifier, and what that amplifier does is it amplifies the sound of the guitar. And today in this message, what God was speaking to my heart about is that we amplify Christ in the Holy Spirit that's within us. In other words, if we whatever we amplify, it'll be what takes precedence in our lives. If we amplify our troubles and our trials and our tribulations, they'll have the preeminence in our life. But if we amplify God and his answer in the Spirit of God, then we have the resolve before it ever comes. Amen. So the title of this morning's message is Anointing Means Power. And the anointing abides in our text, the anointing mentors, and the anointing proves. The anointing abides, mentors, and proves. Are we all here? Can we lift the word together and make a declaration in the house today? Praise God. I believe this is the written word of God. God wrote it to me. I am what God's word says I am. I can have everything God's word says I can have. I can be who God says I can be. Today, I will hear God's word and my life will be changed. It'll never be the same. My faith will increase because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Lord, my ears are open. My heart is attentive. Speak to me, for your servant is listening. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, we're so grateful, Father God, that you sent your word here to accomplish what you sent it to this house to do today. So, Father, I pray that the words that proceed out of this mouth would be words from you, words that would be from your word, Father God, and not my own. And when all is said and done, you'll receive all glory and honor and praise because we gathered today in this body gathered to hear from you. So, Lord, we thank you, Father God, for all that you're going to do. And in this day we pray, amen and amen. Amen. You know, one thing I'm so grateful about is the anointing, the Holy Spirit, the abiding Spirit of God. You know, when Jesus, he says in 1 John 2, verse 27, but the anointing which you have received of him abideth in you. Amen. And when I was looking at that, the anointing that abides, in John 14, verse 16, Jesus says this. He says, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. You know, young people, what took place while you were at camp was just the beginning. It was just the beginning. It was just the deposit. And as you fan that gift, And as you operate in that gift that God has given you, the gift of the Holy Ghost, he says that you'll build up your most holy faith praying in the Holy Ghost. In other words, when we're praying in the Spirit of God, we're praying with the abiding Spirit that's within us. All of a sudden, things that come our way, we're not driven away by them. We're not tempted. We're not drawn into the things that the world has because we're walking in the Spirit. I said to Chris this morning, I said, that's why the Bible says there is therefore no condemnation to those in Christ Jesus that walk in the Spirit, not in the flesh. As you get in the Spirit, it should be a daily exercise. Amen. I think it's important for this church. Hey, if you're here, I want you to understand. I believe in the gift of speaking in tongues, okay? I believe God gave us the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost knows the perfect will of God and prays according to God's will. And I get more accomplished when I pray in the Spirit than when I pray in the natural. Because when I pray in the natural, I put my 2 cents in. When I pray in the Spirit, it's all God's will. And all of a sudden, God starts manifesting himself and shows himself and makes himself big in the lives around me. I've seen so many things take place after being in the presence of God. And if I wasn't walking in the presence and being filled with the Spirit of God and praying the Spirit of God, I would have been broken and kicked and defeated. Amen? But we're praying in the Holy Ghost. We're building our most holy faith. In other words, what he is saying to you, the anointing that you have, the charisma you have, the endowment you have abides with you. Jesus was speaking to them in John 14, 16. He was getting ready to leave. He was getting ready to ascend to the Father and send them the Spirit. So there was going to be some sorrow because they had grown close to Jesus. They had walked with Jesus for a little over 4 years. They had been by his side. And all of a sudden, Jesus is leaving them. But he's saying, I'm not going to leave you without someone. I'm going to give you something back. I'm going to give you something better than you had than when I was with you. I'm going to give something that's going to be in you wherever you go. He'll always be there. That means that no matter where I am at, I do not have to look for God. I don't have to wonder where he's at. All I have to do is, he's already here. Amen. God wants you to know, as a child of God, you've been sealed by the Spirit of God. Your body became the temple of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is in you. Amen. Amen. So as we're walking in this new life, into this deliverance that God has purchased for us on the cross of Calvary, we're walking in this, and it's a no-so, and we're listening from the inside. It's that still small voice. He says he'll never allow more on you than you can bear, and he'll always give you an avenue of escape. Amen. 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 You know, and as we're seeing this and getting a hold of this, this anointing, this Holy Ghost, this endowment abiding with you and I. You know, Paul illustrated in Romans chapter 8. If you look with me in Romans chapter 8. Romans 8:8. Paul says this. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Amen? So they that are in the flesh cannot please God. The Bible says in Hebrews, but without faith it's impossible to please God. Amen? We must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder to them that diligently seek him, right? So he says, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal body by the Spirit, by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. The abiding Spirit will quicken your mortal body. In other words, your spirit man has the opportunity to take over your natural man. Amen. And some say, well, this just has to do with that quicken comes from the Greek word zupuio, which means to make alive. Amen? And God will make you and I alive through Christ Jesus. And he's got that inner thing inside of us. Amen? We just have to allow the Spirit of God to be activated in us and let it go to work. You know? So many times we find that the day we give our hearts to Jesus and there's a transformation in our lives. We became a new creation in Christ Jesus. The Bible says, old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. But as we sometimes, if we're walking in newness of life, if we haven't turned from the old man and walking in the new land, in the new man, in the newness of the Lord, all of a sudden the Spirit of God gets buried underneath the rubble. You know, all of a sudden there's things that are in us, and he gets buried in there. That's why Paul says that I stir up the gift that's within you at the laying on of my hands. And so what he was speaking about is, hey, the Spirit can get quiet within us if it's not used. You know, if it's not put to practice, you know, it's important for us to allow the Spirit to speak to us. Amen. And, you know, and the Bible says, don't for us not to grieve the Holy Ghost. It's sort of like we grieve the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost keeps telling us to do something, we do the opposite. You know, when the grieve is to make sorrowful or to make weep, but God doesn't give up on you. See, the call of God is irrevocable. It doesn't change. He's not going to change his mind concerning you. He has a plan in every heart and life that's in this room. Amen. And he wants you to know that you have an anointing, that you have an impartation, that you have an endowment, that the Spirit of God is in you. God has given you he has a plan, and he's going to see that plan through, and he's given you a helper. He's given you an advocate. He's given you a standby. He's given you something within you that's going to help you fulfill the mandate of God that's on your life. Amen. You know, I'm going to say something here and come up here. I see this man, you know, this man James, you know, this man that's around here, and you don't know him. Well, see, he was at the youth camp, and I heard a little report on you. When he was at the youth camp, they were singing hip hop. They were like, they're worshiping, praise with a little hip hop beat and everything. And they said, well, James, why ain't you jumping? And James says, well, I like country music. All right? Amen? And let me say something. If you have the abilities and talents to do something, most likely God is going to use you for the kingdom to do it. God usually takes someone that everyone says, there's no way he can do that. Then it takes God. And I see this young man doing all kinds of things for the kingdom of God. Amen? He's going to do great exploits for the kingdom of God. Amen? Amen? Because if they're not going to look at your natural ability, you're going to look at the Holy Ghost ability. Amen? So you just start laying hands on people. Not suddenly. It says lay hands on no man suddenly.
Yeah, that's talking.
He was out there with me this morning. He was talking to me. He said, hanging out with me a little bit. He said, I'm leaving. I said, why? He said, you talk too much. But God wants you to know that Spirit that dwells in you will quicken you. Will quicken you. When it doesn't seem like it'll work, when it doesn't seem like you can make it through, all of a sudden, if you just allow that Spirit to quicken your mortal body. Amen? You know, when y'all were praying, singing up there, Chris and Christy both had bad voices today, not bad singing voices, but bad voices. And I was praying that the Spirit of God would quicken them. And as they were exercising the gift that God gave them, that he would put his hand on it and touch their voices to continue to sing. Amen. Amen. Because in their natural self, they couldn't do it. LaVon, for example, when she came in this morning, she sounded like a frog. I didn't say you look like one. I said you sound like one. That's my sister, okay? She always gets mad at me. I guess I should stop that. But the Spirit, you know, he wants you to know that he's given you and I, everyone in the room's anointed. Everyone in the room's anointed. Everyone. So no matter what you do for the kingdom of God, do it with all your might and let the anointing flow through you.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
Man, the nursery, what a great place to start in the Holy Ghost. These preschool teachers, when you walk in the door, you should be able to sense the presence of God as soon as you come into the house. Man, there's anointed men and women here. Amen. You know, there's some in here that are rebelling. But that's all right. God's got you. And he ain't going to leave you alone. He going to keep on and keep on until you say, I surrender.
I surrender all to him. I freely give. I will ever love and trust him, in his presence daily live. I surrender all. I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's all the Holy Spirit is saying to you and I, the anointing that abides in us. Just surrender. Amen. Amen. Surrender. Surrender to God's will. Amen. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 13, Paul was writing to his student Timothy. He says, hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me, and faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. Amen. In other words, that good thing that has been committed to us, keep by the Holy Ghost. Amen. We've got the Spirit of God that's abiding in you and I. Praise God. God wants you to get it in you. Get it in your heart. Come on now. Get it in your heart. 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 That you're anointed. That you're called of God. That you're a chosen generation. You're a royal priesthood. You're a holy nation. You're a peculiar people. That you should show forth the praises of him that brought you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who at one time were not a people, but now are the people of God, that the Spirit of the living God is dwelling in you and I. So no matter where we go, no matter what circumstance, no matter what situation we're in, whether it's in the workplace, whether it's in the schoolhouse, no matter where it's at, if it's at the courthouse, if it's at the jail, no matter where it is, when we are there, the Spirit of God is there because he dwells with you and I. And when we're walking this, some people say, well, God isn't in the school anymore. Oh, yes, he is. He's in the school because he's in you. He's in you. He's in you. He's in you. And he's going to be Blue Ridge with you. Hallelujah. And he's still everywhere because everywhere we go, God is with us. God is in us because we have the abiding spirit and he ain't going to leave you. Some of you think you've been in a dry place. You got in a place in your life where there didn't seem to be any freshness. You come to a place that was dull and it seems like nothing's living in you anymore. It just seems, oh, Pastor, I'm in a dry place. I'm in a dry place. I think the Holy Spirit left me. Lie, 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 lie. The Holy Spirit will abide in you. He is there. In other words, you just draw near to him, he'll draw near to you. Hallelujah. You draw near to him and he'll draw near to you. You draw near. Many times we say, well, Pastor, I'm just waiting on God. And God says, no, you're not waiting on me. I'm waiting on you. Hey, I said I'd never leave you nor forsake you, that I'd be as close as the call of your name, call of my name. I will never leave you. He's always there. Amen. So many times when something didn't happen the way that we thought it should happen, we think, well, God doesn't love me anymore. Well, sometimes if you would have saw and God would have gave you what you wanted, it would have destroyed you. Hallelujah. I know what my word says. My Bible says, I know that all things work together for good to them that love God and are called according to his purpose. And you are called according to his purpose, and he has a plan in your life, and you're an anointed child of God. Amen. In other words, sometimes when we go through storms in life, the only way I could have grown is through the storm. Amen. In other words, God said, Jesus, before Jesus ever took his earthly ministry, he had to go in the wilderness for 40 days. He had to battle a wilderness experience. But he came out, and he came out in power, and he came out in might. He came out with signs and wonders and miracles. Hallelujah. And God is doing signs and wonders and miracles in our midst even now. God is delivering people. God is setting people free. God is healing the sick. He's raising the lame up. He's opening prison doors. He's done a work in your life. He's going to do the work in some other lives too. He's just begun. God is faithful to complete everything he starts. And he says to you and I, stop growing weary in well-doing. For in due season you will reap if you faint not. Don't get weary in well-doing. Hallelujah. God says to strengthen yourself in his power and might. How do I strengthen myself in the body and spirit? I get in the word of God, because in the word there is life. Amen. There's life. Every time I come into a situation, I can say all kinds of things, but things change when I speak God's word. Amen. You know, sometimes I try to talk to the devil, tell him to get out of this and do that, and he goes, no, I'm not listening to you. But once the word of God goes forth, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. You know, he has to bow to the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
He has to bow to the name of Jesus. God wants you to know that you're anointed. Amen. Amen. And I'm not telling you not to go to school, and I'm not telling you not to learn theology, and I'm not telling you not to go to Bible study. I'm not telling you to do that, but the Holy Spirit's going to teach you spiritual things. Amen? He's going to teach you some spiritual things. You know, God is not only that, the Holy Spirit not only abides, but he says you need not a teacher, the Holy Spirit will teach you, or the anointing will teach you. That gives you and I a mentor. You know what a mentor is? Someone you go to for advice. What did the Word of God say? If any of you lack wisdom, ask of God, because he give it to you liberally, and he upbraideth not. Amen. So we have a mentor. We have the Holy Ghost. Turn with me to John 14:26. You say, well, Pastor, these scriptures are familiar. Yes, they are. Amen. But faith cometh by what? And hearing by what? Jesus, the Spirit of truth, right? Jesus said, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Amen? So not only as the anointing that abides in you and I, but the anointing mentors. I have a teacher within me. Amen? The Bible says in 1 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse number 12. The word of God says, Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak not in words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, neither can they know them, because they are spiritually discerned. In other words, we have the mentor. We have the Spirit within us. The Spirit will teach us. The Spirit will guide us. The Spirit will teach and guide us into what? He will teach and guide us into all truth. Amen? You know, in other words, you know, what Paul would pray for the church at Ephesus, he would pray that the eyes of their understanding would be enlightened. And the eyes of your understanding will be enlightened by the Spirit of God. In other words, when I get to study the Word of God, if I'm going to study the Word of God in the morning, I'm going to pray in the Spirit first. I'm going to get in line with the Lord. I'm going to get in line. And then as I start reading the word, I'm asking the Lord to give me revelation. I'm asking for him to give me understanding. One thing I've shared with you before, and I'll share with you again, the only thing Satan can steal from you and I is what we do not understand. What we understand, he cannot take. So, you know, the eyes of our understanding being enlightened is what he said in Ephesians 1:18. So he says the natural man cannot understand, can't receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, because they're spiritually discerned. He says in verse 10 and 1 Corinthians 2, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Amen. So the Spirit is searching. So, in other words, we are new spirit beings in Christ Jesus. Amen. My body became the temple. The Holy Spirit's abiding in me. The Holy Spirit is my mentor. My Holy Spirit is my helper. He's my guide. He's my advocate. Amen. He's helping me understand. He's helping me in my decisions that I make. Hello? You know, the Bible says in Proverbs, trust the Lord with all thine heart, lean not to your own understanding, all thy ways acknowledge him, and he'll direct your path. So if we're walking in the Spirit of God, we're not walking in the flesh, we're a new creation in Christ Jesus, we're not being conformed to this world, we're being transformed by the renewing of our mind. Where our mind's being renewed daily because our mind's being transformed from the world to the spirit realm. Even though I'm a natural being, I'm a spiritual being. Amen? Amen. And you know, there's a spirit of Satan and there's a spirit of God. You know, there's a battle in this world. And God gave us this help. He gave us the advocate, the sustainer, the helper. He gave us the instruction manual. You know? And so many times the adversary wants you to look at this. I can't do this and I can't do that. I can't do this and I can't do that. Oh, because I'm a child of God, I can't do this and I can't do that. I can't do this and I can't do that. I can't. And what the adversary wants you to think is that this is too hard for you to do, because he gives you a can't mentality. But the Holy Spirit says you can do all things through Christ Jesus that will strengthen you. Amen. In other words, if God is a man that he should not lie, neither the Son of Man that he needs to repent, if God said it, he'll do it. That's it. In other words, we need to stand firm to the Word of God. You know, the Bible says that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So we can't be moved all the time by our natural eyes. We have to be moved by what the Spirit of God says.
Amen.
When, for example, just as a little illustration, when this land was donated to build the church here, it didn't look like anything. It didn't have any shape or form. It was a rock, a hilly rock. It was probably one of the ugliest pieces of property around. You know, it wasn't a pretty piece of property down here along the road. I'm just telling you, it was grown up. It was full of rocks and stuff, and there was nothing done to it. But you had to see where God was going to take it to, not where the Spirit said it was, not where the natural man says it. And in other words, when God says to you and I that I've called you and I gave you a vision and I gave you a dream and I placed that thing in your heart that I will bring it to pass, and God is never late. Dad used to say to me, my father went home to be at the Lord, he said, God's time is not our time, but he's always on time. He is never late. We serve a God that is perfectly always on time. I don't know all the time why it's always got to be at the midnight hour. Amen. But I know that there's always something that he's doing in me before the midnight hour. And I know every time that God calls me to do something and gives, and the Spirit of God tells me to do something, and I start moving in the direction the Spirit says to move in, I get all this adversity that attacks me. I mean, the gates of hell start storming, and there's resistance. And the first thing that comes to my natural mind is, well, that must not be God, because if it's God, he just swing all the doors open and I can just walk through them. But God said, when he calls you, if his son faced adversity for your salvation, for my salvation, we're going to face adversity when we're walking towards the gift of God that he's called in our hearts and lives, and the vision and the plans that he has for your life. And if you're not, if you think that you're not going to have adversity, somebody's lying to you. Amen? Because I want you to know the gates of hell are storming out there. The adversary has come to kill you, to steal from you, to destroy you, your family. He is a liar. He's a liar. And we can't get into his game and his mentality and his plan. I have to believe God what he said. You know, the Bible says, without vision, the people perish. And if you can't get a hold of a vision that God has placed in your life, you go aimlessly through life without a direction. And I believe that God will show each and every person in the room what he has for you. If you just seek him and get on your face before him, he'll reveal things to you. And when you don't see what you thought you should see, don't give up. Amen. Now, you know, God called me to go the world with the gospel. And I know what God called me to do. And I'm not seeing it witnessed yet, but I know it's going to happen. And what God says to me, he says, be faithful in what I've trusted you with. Much given, much required. If you can't be faithful in the little, he can't be trusted with the great. Amen. So in other words, whatever you're going through, it's a God's love, you know, he tries us. Amen. You know, but that trial burns up chaff in our lives. I've grown more in my life through trials than I ever did on mountaintops. I've grown more when I was going through the valley of despair. Amen. I know something when I was going through the valley, I had to keep looking up. I wasn't going to get stuck in that valley. You know, I believe God is working. And when we were going through valleys in our lives, we got to keep our eyes forward and keep moving ahead. You know, when we sang that song earlier today, kids, we're moving forward. Amen. What God is saying, hey, something, there's a moment he brought us to. Amen. We're in a moment where we can transform and help the vessels to transform and change lives. Let me get back on the subject again. We're talking about the anointing that abides in you and I, the anointing that will mentor us. That's a good one that we go to get counsel from. I get my direction from. Amen. Do you know the voice of the Lord? It's important to spend time in his presence, to hear his voice and to learn the voice of the Lord. Amen. Amen. He knows my name. You know that song? He knows my every thought.
He sees each tear I cry and hears me when I call. He knows my name. He knows my every thought. He sees each time I cry. Each year I cry and he hears me when I call.
I'm not going to make two of them this time. Hallelujah. He knows my name. He knows my every thought.
He
He sees each tear that falls. He sees each tear that falls and hears me when I call. Hallelujah. Praise God. We got a Savior that knows our name. You know, I was reminded that before you were ever formed in your mom's belly, the Lord knew you by name. He said, every hair on your head is even numbered. Amen. He knows you're going out. He knows you're coming in. He knows everything you're going through. And he is saying to you, I am with you again. He just wants you to know that you're not alone. Amen. You know, it seems like sometimes when you get to a place where you feel like you're by yourself. Anybody been like that before? God says, you're never alone. Amen. You're never alone. Not only does he give the anointing abides, not only does the anointing mentor, but the anointing also will prove itself, okay? In other words, when it says prove, amp, John 15:26. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. John 16:13, howbeit when the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Man, it's kind of amazing, and when you were talking about deja vu moments. And deja vu moments is when we're praying in the Spirit and the Spirit shows us things to come. And many times the Spirit has already said to us what was coming and we forgot what the Spirit said was coming. And when he comes, the Holy Spirit says, remember, I told you. Amen. You know, so the Holy Spirit not only will the body will prove himself. He says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. Amen. Amen. So the Spirit of truth will prove himself. Amen. And in other words, when the word was prophesied in the Old Testament, it was fulfilled. Amen. It was proven. And I know that the Spirit of God has proven himself time and time again in your life. You know? So many times I think that we ought to keep a journal of the things that God has done. Because so many times in our hearts and lives, we forget what he's done in the past and we're just looking for what he's doing today. You know, just like David, when David was going out to battle the giant, he rehearsed the victories he had in the past. He rehearsed the victory that he had with the lion. He rehearsed the victory that he had with a bear. And he said, well, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he may defy the armies of the living God? And in other words, you and I, as we reflect and we look at all that God has done, the Spirit of truth will reveal to you things that are coming. And as he's revealing these things that are coming your way, you have to have a no-so mentality that God wouldn't show you if he wasn't going to see you through. Amen? Amen. Praise God. He is going to show you something he ain't going to do. Amen? 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 Matter of fact, in 1 John 4:6, and I'll just get ready to close. And 1 John 4:5, it says, they that are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth of God heareth us, and he that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the Spirit of truth and the spirit of error. God, Spirit, truth. Satan, Spirit, error. The problem that we have, if you do not stay learned in the Word of God, is there's a lot of spirit of error out there. There's a lot of half-truths. There's a lot of deception. There's a lot of people telling you everything you want to hear. Amen? The Bible says that there's going to come a time that people have an itchy ear. They'll want to hear everything except the truth. God in his word will never justify sin. Sin is sin. But just remember that God loves the sinner. He just doesn't care for the sin. Amen. So in closing today, what is God saying to you and I, his children in the house of God today? He is saying that that yoke of bondage was destroyed. And God has given you a yoke that's easy, that the burden is light. That he has given you a helper. He has given you an anointing that abides in you. He has given you an anointing that will mentor you. He has given you an anointing that will prove himself time and time and time again. He's just saying to you and I, hey, stop leaning to your own understanding. Just trust and believe in him. You know, in Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 17, Paul writes this, I say therefore and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness in true holiness. Today in closing, we are going to take communion. And as we take communion, we take it with a repentant heart. You know, Paul instructs for us to search our hearts. If there's any evil way, we just ask forgiveness. God is will forgive us our sins and our transgressions. So as we take of the bread and we take of the blood of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we take it with a heart, the pure heart. Not that we're pure, because there's no one that's here that's pure. But we have a heart of intention. We're trying to do our best. That's all God asks for any of you, is your best. That's all he's asking for us. You know, God loves you and I so much that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but would have everlasting life. And if you're here today and maybe you haven't accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, or maybe one time you accept him, but you haven't been living for him, and you feel the Lord drawing you to him today. If that is you, would you just say, that's me? Is there anybody at all? You need Jesus. Just say, I need Jesus. I need a fresh walk with the Lord. Is that you? I want to miss the opportunity. If there's any at all. Can we all stand together and can we come and gather around the altars today as we partake of the broken body and the shed blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ?